All that Cyril Farrell had taught her went racing through her head. Swift as a deer, quiet as a shadow. Fear cuts deeper than swords. Quick as a snake, calm as still water. Fear cuts deeper than swords. Strong as a bear, fierce as a wolverine. Fear cuts deeper than swords. The man who fears losing has already lost. Fear cuts deeper than swords. Fear cuts deeper than swords. Fear cuts deeper than swords. Welcome to 2C1C, the Game of Thrones podcast founded in 2010 by myself, Will Lentz, Greg Atkinson, and Brett Zeiler. Now hosted by myself, Daryl Lloyd, and Kyle Vansel, with guest appearances by past hosts and more. Many thanks to GRRM and FFG for making this possible, CardGameDB for our hosting, and Josh Woodward for the Creative Commons music you hear in this episode. Welcome to Season 4.5. Alrighty, just a brief little intro here, guys. A caveat, a disclaimer, if you will. This episode is messed up. Yeah, you heard it. I don't know how much I can do to fix it, but I'm going to try. We had a continual bout of recording issues, from scheduling conflicts to technical problems that just wouldn't quit two nights in a row. So if it sounds a little more disjointed than normal, I very much apologize, but here is our pre-Gen Con overview episode. We will join you guys again the week after Gen Con. Of course, we'll definitely be taking Gen Con week itself off, but we hope to have an exciting recap for you after that. Alrighty, so as part of our pre-Gen Con episode here, I think we're going to try and tackle both formats a little bit that folks will be playing at Gen Con is the Continental Championships, right?
Correct.
Is that what they're calling it now?
Yeah, I think it's
the North American.
Yeah, so. North American Continental.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure enough. So it's one of the few places offering Melee as a competitive event, which I still think is kind of fun. I think Melee is a blast, and since it is part of the competition there and weighs in for the overall championship, we thought we would touch base with Melee and kind of see how the houses stand there, right?
Yeah.
So I think what we did was we kind of wrote down some personal rankings for the houses and thought we would kind of hash out an overall consensus here as we go. Cause I think we both did this in secret. All three of us did that in secret without conferring with each other. So, you know, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to start at the bottom here. How's that?
Do it.
Started from the bottom.
Yep. It may sound crazy to people, but I actually think I'm going to put Stark in the bottom in Melee. I just feel that you know, they don't have a lot of extra ways to really manipulate the table the same way as some of the other houses. Just to like dictate that overall flow of the game. They do have some solid power characters. They have some solid ones with the noun. They've got some single target answers. And, you know, maybe they can make a deal by saying, hey, I won't use my kill effect on this or that. But I just don't really feel like they've got that same way to dictate it. And some of the Melee-specific stuff, like, say, Arya, that makes opposing people also fulfill claims, just, I don't really see them see play.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way about Stark. They're my second from the bottom here. I just don't think they have the tools right now. I mean, people have done okay with Stark in the past. I don't think I've seen a halfway decent one in a while. I feel like their best, their best like deck type siege is kind of double-edged sword.
Well,
melee.
And it got hit with those epic battle restrictions, too, which knocked down their best melee build for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stark is I'm with Daryl, it's my second worst house. It's a, like you said, there's just not a lot of pieces, and I look more at builds, because melee is so weird in that regard, where it's not just like the strength of the whole house, it's how you can manipulate three other players as opposed to one. The same kind of things just do not translate. And, I mean, there's some stuff. It'd be interesting to see if, with some of the new stuff going on, if Tully's would be worth a look. I mean, there are some thoughts in Stark, but the house is really well-rounded, which I think makes it great for Joust, for the Joust format right now, but I think it doesn't have enough push in one direction to make a viable melee deck.
So if you guys both had it in the number 5 spot, I'm kind of curious, what'd you guys have in number 6?
For me, it was Greyjoy.
Really?
Yeah, I don't see Greyjoy doing it this year. I haven't seen him do really well. I realized last year, Ryan Jones took it to the top, but I just think the other houses right now have way better tools, far better tools, and I do feel like Stark has a better job than Greyjoy, has a better shot this year. Maybe I'm wrong, because not a lot from that melee list has been hit, but I just don't think it's going to get there.
I agree, Greyjoy, much stronger than that, but my least favorite, the house I perceive to be the weakest right now, I put as Lannister.
Yeah, I debated about that
myself. What? Hyperneal is a thing, and it's fun, but I've played it, and it's hard to do, because you're not getting a lot of power, so if you're not winning the table, your power count is low, and in the new scoring format, that is a big burden. Second at 7 power is the same as what? Third at 12? Third at 15, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, those are similar.
It's round down, so it's, 3 points if you have 7 power. I found it was hard. It was like, almost like if you're not first, you're last. Like, the struggle to consistently get the points you need and make a top cut is difficult with the Hyperneal build. And that's really the one I think is best out of laning right now. And with that being, with your champions, the struggle, it's hard to rate the house highly.
Yeah. I agree with that. I actually, really internally debated whether I was going to put Lannister or Stark in my 6th spot. Wound up putting Lannister in the 5 for me. And for essentially that same reason, at Worlds last year, I played the Hyperneal build. And, they've got some Power Behind the Throne rush builds available, too, that can be pretty good in melee. But it really feels, when I play Lannister in melee, that they don't have as strong a capability as other houses to walk that line and kind of combine some of that. I either have to go pretty whole hog on the Hyperneal stuff, and in which case I can dictate a ton of what happens on the board, but can't take advantage of it myself because Lannister just doesn't have the same breadth of rush abilities as other houses. Or on the flip side, I can really play to what rush abilities they do have, but if I do, then I lose out on that ability to dictate what's happening on the board.
Yeah, it's a tough spot for Laney. Laney's a great joust house. I feel like they have a lot of cards, especially with some of the stuff that's out and coming out, to manipulate the guy across from you, but I feel like it's very different and has always been a struggle to handle everyone. And this Hyperneal deck, the only reason it's super viable is Queen's Knight, or Queen's...
Queen's Champion, isn't it? Queen's Favorite?
No.
Queen's Guard,
thank you. But if he dies, you very quickly become you lose a lot of that oomph that lets you lock down a table.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a little nervous. But while we're here, like, dogging on these bottom two houses for each of us, I'd like to just preface that so much of Melee has little to do with, like, your deck. It's about your pacing and your timing and your posturing and what you say. And I fully expect, like, these houses to have at least one or two decks to make the top 16.
Sure.
Despite that. And I just, like, for me, when I was thinking about this list, in Joust, I feel like there's a much more stratification going on. There is a noticeable difference, both in statistics and in perception, between the top house and the bottom. Melee, I feel like it's much, much closer, that you can win with anything you show up with if you play your cards right, as horrible of a pun as that is.
Yeah, I agree with that entirely. Any of these still stand a shot, and I think part of what made it difficult for me to sit down and rate them. But, you know, certain themes in the houses, I think, do still lend a certain easier ability to make those well-timed plays.
Certainly. And you dog on Lannister, but Myrcella can be an all-star.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's a good point.
If you're running either of those houses, she can, and has, like, won me games. I mean, she by herself can do amazing things.
Yeah, that ability to swap titles, it can't hardly be overstated how powerful that is. Getting, you know, double effects or forcing, you know, double supports or opposing, or, I mean, there's just a wealth of ways to play around with that.
Yeah.
Well,
all right, well, you're taking lead. What's number three?
With four, it'd be number four now. This one was tough for me because this house is a personal favorite of mine, particularly in Melee. But in the end, I wound up going with Greyjoy. I think they have a strong ability to dictate, like, the overall pace of turns, because they are the house that just rules initiative. I mean, and I've seen games won and lost over Ahead of the Tide. They've got various other initiative boosting type things now. They've still got some options in unopposed rush, which is very nice in Melee. It's easier to get those unopposed options. And they have one card that I think, this is what made me wonder if I ought to put Greyjoy higher. They've got the Horn of Dragons. And dragons, you know, ever since the Queen of Dragons ones were released, and we had the Dany that made them not kneel, they were a popular choice in Melee. They were strong the last couple years in Melee. A dragon deck with the newer dragons that become cannot be killed, won in Canadian Nationals last week. The ability to just snatch those dragons, I think, could be key. So depending on how much Targ shows up, Greyjoy could move up a couple places, I think.
Yeah, that Greyjoy Maester's build you can do it out of anything. And most Greyjoy Melee decks just stick at least a copy in. But some trait manip to steal whoever the best dudes on the board were is certainly powerful. And there are a lot of those effects now in a lot of different houses that let you take control of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Greyjoy can do some mean things with it. And I agree with Will's points. They were a little higher up on the list for me, but not by a lot. So I mean, it is a house that has some very interesting builds to play with. And Greyjoy, I think more than any other house, does a great job of feigning weakness.
Yeah.
Of being in a poor spot and then just turning a switch and you are caught flat-footed and can't do nothing. I mean, that's what Ryan Jones's deck did. I mean, I was at his final table and he said it was that way all day. He just kind of piddles around and no one targets him or looks at him because he's not really doing anything. And then all of a sudden for him, it's just a flip into power of faith and it's bam, 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 bam. That's 8 power and I win, just out of nowhere.
Right.
And Greyjoy does a phenomenal job of that.
Yeah, that initiative game and the unopposed really gives them the ability to come out of nowhere sometimes.
And that's really what you need in Melee, is to get yourself within striking distance and then pull the trigger when no one's seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm the only one who doesn't have Greyjoy or Aegerth. I will. My fourth was Martell. And I wanted to put them higher, and it was really a toss-up between them and Greyjoy. And I put Martell a little lower just because, like you said, the dragons seem real hot right now. So Horned Dragons helped. And I don't know. People, when you see Martell house cards, people get have negative reactions. And anything you can do that creates a negative disposition right off the bat, I feel is bad. People think you're either going to do Saiyan Sync shenanigans or maybe a Maester Rush. Either way, they kind of know. Martell hasn't come up with a lot of new tricks in the melee world lately. And so I think people know what your game plan is, which route you're going, and for whatever reason, people just hate the sun. So that is a real thing. And so that's why Tiebroker dropped it to four for me. You got to be lovable when you sit down at that table.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Oh, go ahead, Daryl.
Oh, I was just going to say, I have Martell ranked at number two for me. My number four is Lanny, but I can totally see where you're coming from as far as Martell, you know, kind of gaining aggro, if you will, in a game, because they have so many tricks and they have so many things that they can do. And Quentin obviously is really good. Prince of the Sun Red Viper can single-handedly win you a game. He's restricted now in melee, right?
Yes,
if I'm not mistaken. So that's that's kind of a hit, but I mean, honestly, that's not too bad for those guys. I mean, there's some Maester builds that they can do, or they can even like splash in Maesters. I really, really like Martell in melee.
See, I just worry with the Bloodthirst stuff that, and people forget, they're like, well, obviously you're not playing Bloodthirst in melee. I mean, maybe you are, but
probably.
But like newer players hate that house. And there are going to be newer players at your melee tables, and those are the players that, like, I don't want to come off like a douchebag, but those are the players that are easy to influence and easy to, you know, chorus on your side. Hey, come on, let's pick on this guy because he's way ahead, even though he may not be here. Let's do this. Like, they're people you can drag along to your cause to help you win a table. And if they say, no, I hate you, you're the Martell guy, Martell players are assholes, like, your job just got way harder. Or if he, like, takes a dive at you. I've had play games where I play Martell, and they go, you know what, I hate that house. I hate what it does to me in Joust. I'm going to do whatever it takes to just dick you over.
Mm.
And it's hard. Like, it doesn't matter how good you are or how bad he is. If he's just slinging challenges at you, it makes it difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Martell is definitely a key in that deck to make it to where, you know, people can't challenge you or you're switching titles. I think that she is a lot more key than people give her credit for, really. You definitely have to be able to utilize some different tricks, some different tools, whether it's like burning on the sands, or maybe you play the only game that matters, because, you know, a lot of your characters are going to have intrigue icons if you want to defend that and win or something like that. You definitely have to play around a little bit, but, you know, the ability to just maybe strip icons, just like not even heavily, but just a little spot icon removal can be really key and nasty. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think overall I still like Martell in Melee. They were in the number three spot for me, so it just seems like Kyle and I are just flip-flopping pairs. We'll have to see how one and two looks, but I think Martell still has a lot of strong pieces in a Melee setting. They've got Marcella, like you guys mentioned, which is so great for dictating where challenges can and can't go and getting some of those extra bonuses. They've got strong rush capabilities now with so many of those unique, renowned knights. To the Spears just got restricted, but I think, you know, with a lot of those renowned characters, it's still totally viable as a choice there to close out a game. If you want to get more tricksy, you've got, like, Red Vengeance to shift claim elsewhere and really muck things up along with that Marcella. And I think in dictating that overall flow, they're the house with the most effects that make people want to send challenges elsewhere anyway. And when you've got three other opponents most of the time, unless, heaven forbid, you're at a three-player table, which is just a mess, that's a lot of potential claim. And if you can dissuade your opponents from coming at you and send that claim elsewhere, that can really add up. So, of course, you've got some of the more standard effects like Red Vengeance. You've got Taste for Blood, that makes opponents really wary of pushing you towards the win if they try to stop you. Even just their house keyword of Vengeful makes it so tricky for opponents to try to knock you down when suddenly trying to do so resets all of your defenses, and then it's harder for anybody else to try and come in and actually knock you down.
Good points, Will.
About thought my mic had gone out again.
Nope.
On to number three.
Yep. Like I said, three was Martell for me, so what do you guys have?
Mine was Greyjoy.
Okay.
Hmm. Mine's Targaryen.
Gotcha.
What?
Yep. Mine's Targaryen. Targaryen's always good. Targaryen has always been really effective.
I don't know.
Why is it number three?
Why is it number three? Because I have Martell in my number two spot. I really, really like them right now. And, then that kind of narrows down my number one. We can get down to that later. But, I like Targaryen at number three. I took Martell to top 16 in Gen Con a couple years ago. So maybe it's just a soft spot, but I know how potent that house could be, so that's why I feel like they're still number two. I still think they're really good. So Targaryen's kind of always been where it has been in its melee build. I don't know if we're necessarily going to see something new. Maybe people will deviate and maybe try to just kill stuff with Dany and find other tricks with her. I'm not really sure. I do think there's something to be said for a weird... you run those, the smuggler dude who stands a prize card and in Power Behind the Throne, you're making two power challenges. Maybe there's something to be said for that. I don't know. Probably not in melee right now this year, but, Tar Dragons has always been the tits. So, number three for me.
Gotcha.
They don't have any new tricks in melee as far as I know.
Well, they kind of did. I mean, the new dragons, and I guess
the horse lord, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like him all. The specialized guys in general are totally worth it in melee games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they also got... I think they definitely also got Fire Maid Flesh, and I was going to say, I think there may still be room to play that in melee. It gets really dangerous giving your... all three of your opponents that two power, but you might be able to just go ahead and close out a game with your non-kneeling unique with renown at that point. So I'd be tempted to still run a couple copies. I think it's no particular secret here that I'm currently ranking Targaryen in my number two spot. Dragons are still strong. The Queen of Dragons ones is definitely strong abilities. They've shown up well in melee in the past. They can't take attachments, which is great. And now we've got that new Daenerys to throw on top of things. Again, prize could be a little dangerous, but I think the prize characters are probably a little safer even than the events in melee. Melee often tends to be more reset light than Joust does. So I think Targ is in a strong place for melee.
I had Targ at number one, so...
Then I think your number two is probably Baratheon, then. We just flip-flopped every pair, huh?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, Bear is number one for me.
I mean, the stag is good. Mel's favor is bonkers.
Yeah, ridiculous. Borderline ridiculous in melee.
Yeah, that's what sealed the deal for me. I mean, they've been consistently strong. They've got the beefy presence anyway of characters, the big power gaining characters. They've got some initiative boosts and way to muck with turn order, like the what is it, Knights of the Storm?
Knights of the Storm to become first player, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which can be key. And then now that they've got Null's Favor, that is just point and click, take the best character on the board for a turn, that can just seal a game. I mean, you know, heaven forbid that character has enough power on it that you just win off of that.
Seriously.
But yeah, even if it's not that, if you're stealing, I don't know, any number of other things, you know, that can be key to open up your opponent's, you know, whoever you took it from, and use that character then to beat down. I think it's just clutch.
Yep. The best part of Mel's Favor is that you don't have to work for it. You don't have to give them a trade of any kind or do anything else.
Right.
You play it on a person that can take attachments. And 90% of the dudes that claim power can take attachments. So.
Yeah, that's why I think I gave them the nod several spots over Greyjoy. Because Greyjoy, unless it's already a dragon, has to kind of work at it. Baratheon, as long as you've got 3 gold.
Yeah. Yep, and with Knight of the North, I mean, I understand that Targ has a very similar, if not literally like the same guy type of thing, but Baratheon, I think, is just going to be able to utilize that better.
Yeah.
I mean, I like them. I mean, they've always been halfway decent in Melee, but I think this is the year of the resurgence of Baratheon, but maybe not. I mean, everybody, at least for me, since I first started playing the game in Melee, you see a guy flip over a Baratheon house card, and you're like, oh, no. Okay. Gotta shut him down early.
Instant.
Shut him down early, shut him down fast.
Right. Yeah.
So, that could be... Yeah, and that could be one of the main reasons why they don't do well at Gen Con, is just because you see it, and it's like, oh, everybody, just military that guy. I will let you intrigue me for free if you Melee him, or military him, rather.
Yeah, like, there's some finagling you still have to do. But, you know, they've got a little more staying power than they used to in years past. Yeah, I think another really nice thing for Baratheon in Melee is that the games don't tend to last quite as long as Joust games. So for a house that's really light on draw, you know, there's not as much time for that drawback to really weigh in, that card advantage game, the attrition there. Doesn't hurt Baratheon as much, because if they can get that early lead, they can probably seal that deal before other people grind it out with the card advantage.
Yep. No, they're good. And recursion helps with that feigning weakness comeback kind of effect I was talking about earlier. I think they're well-rounded for what you want out of Melee. They're great. I mean, I haven't met number 2. I don't know. I love the different ways Targ can attack in Melee. But both are, like, beyond solid choices. You can't really go wrong with either.
Yeah, so then you've got Targ right up top there.
Yep.
All right. I can't 100% argue against that. It was another one that was a really tough call for me. So we'll see how it goes this year. Any parting thoughts on the Melee format, guys?
It's super fun. People need to stop hating on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good one.
For the most part. The one thing in Melee is that anything can happen. You have to remember, anything can happen. You can deceive people. It doesn't make you a scumbag. It's the way the game was meant to be played. So, do it. Seriously, if it's going to win you the game, like what is this? If you're playing the Game of Thrones. Trust those people, make some deals, break some hearts, win the game. There's so much leeway in Melee. You can get away with so much more, so many kind of different card interactions or things that you didn't think would normally be viable, which shouldn't be, but that you can get away with in Melee just because humans are human beings and they can be manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
And you should do that. That is how you play Melee. Do it.
Did it.
Like,
he's not wrong.
I mean, there was a game where Kyle and I were at a table, and Kyle is telling these guys, he's like, guys, seriously, don't listen to him. Like, stop. He's going to win this turn. And he could not convince them. Actually, Zach Bunn turned to me and was like, hey, if I let you do this, will you let me get second? I'm like, absolutely. So,
sometimes that's a viable choice.
Yep. Yeah, it's just one of those things. So, do that. Have fun with it. I mean, I don't know. Last year at Worlds, like, there were, like, well, the top four decks was, like, Bruno was, like, killing everything with Burn, and you had Ryan Jones with his, like, focused defensive deck thing with after, like, two turns of Power of Fate. You had Dragons, and then I can't remember what that other gentleman was playing. I think Dragons as well?
Vera No Agenda.
Oh, yeah. Vera No Agenda. Okay.
So, pretty wide representation at the final table there.
Exactly. So, so any deck can get there. Well, I say any deck. I really mean any house can get there. It all depends on your interactions with the other human beings there. You know, everybody plays Melee a little different. You know, there's guys that, like, from the very beginning are asking to, like, trade plots. You know, like, do you have something that'll let me search if I let you search for something? Like, there's a ton of different ways to play it. There's some guys who just stay pretty stone-faced and try to not say a whole lot and sneak around a little bit. So there's a ton of different ways to play. I don't think I'm going to play Melee this year, which is why I'm saying all this stuff.
Oh,
wow. Where I'm like, deceive people. No, because everyone's going to be like, no, we know what you're up to. So we'll see. I'm still thinking about it. I might change my mind.
I think you should. I think it'll be fun. I always have a blast when I go play a Gen Con. And, you know, a couple things I would throw out there. You know, it's really not quite worth holding grudges, like, from one Melee game to the next or something, because, you know, there is a decent chance you may get paired at a table with somebody you saw earlier, you know, since it's four people per table. So that sort of thing's happened to me a bunch. So, you know, even if somebody stabs you in the back in one game, or you stab somebody in the back in that game, just keep trucking in the next game. Just make sure everybody remembers, hey, it's a new game, it's a new situation, you gotta take matters and deals and such as they come up without that right. Past context.
I mean, you just have to make every decision with the idea of having a benefit for you. So anytime anybody's asking you to do something for them, make sure that you gain something out of it. You know, you can't just sit there and, like, oh man, somebody should support for this guy because of this. Like, make sure that you're assessing the board properly and don't just take one guy's word for it. As long as there's something that you're...
Unless it's a 2C1C host, then just trust them.
Just trust whatever we say.
Hey, you know, speaking of 2C1C hosts and Melee, you know, with the current makeup of the cast, Melee is even the time of year that we come closest to once again having two champs on the show, because Kyle and I have both been at the final table before. So, props/
don't talk about it.
To both of us.
I weep openly.
Yeah. We both Ooh. Had victory snatched away from us at the last second, so I feel your pain. It hurts, man. All right, and now for the draft segment of our Gen Con lead-up episode. Now, I was kind of planning on tackling this in the same way with some house rankings, but I think my co-hosts both said for their own personal reasons that they didn't do rankings. So I don't know. Do you guys want me to just start at the bottom and work my way up of my list, and you guys can
I got rankings.
Gripe or not. Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, just Daryl copped out.
Oh, okay. My bad. I thought you said you didn't either. Okay. Well,
I didn't have mine done. I wasn't prepared. That doesn't mean I don't have them.
Oh, okay. But you've finished them now?
I got a post-it note.
Okay. Actually, mine are on a post-it note as well. How weird. Did you do yours at work? I did mine at work.
And I just did mine right now.
Oh, okay.
Well, in my mind, I formulated it, but I physically wrote them down just now.
Okay, fair enough. Well then, you know what? Let's go ahead and dive in. And I don't think the number six house on my ranking is going to surprise anyone. Truth be told, I think it may be the number six house in everybody's book. Everybody that's rating houses right now. It's very different Joust world than it is in Melee, because I put Baratheon at the bottom. They still just never quite seemed to click at the level of other houses. They did get the Fury and Mel scheme back in the last restricted list, but I don't know if I'm quite sold that that puts them on the right power level with the other houses still. And I mean, of course, the build I loved of the Rearminator got hammered pretty hard and probably isn't playable right at the moment. But, you know, Knights is still a viable option. Summer used to be. I'm not sure that's a go-to direction anymore. I think Knights is probably their best bet to offset their lack of draw. But just overall as a whole, I'm not really feeling it.
I will agree with you that I do have Bera at the bottom. But just today, I learned of a pretty sweet Bera Maester's Path build. They're talking about it over on the Card Game DB forums, buried in a Maester's Path. I think it's called Maester's Path FAQ 5.2 is the name of the thing. But it uses Amon and the new Barrow Wall to just do standy shenanigans with Amon to kind of think of it like Robert of old, but light. I mean, you know, where it's easy, but kind of has that same concept to it, where just using all the stand effects you can to keep putting Amon to use the chains. And it seems pretty cool. A little combo-y, not something I would play, but it seems to be getting a lot of steam and it's something neat. So I'm just glad that people are finding an exciting build out of Vera right now.
Yeah. I mean, that sort of thing was possible before. You already had some standing locations in Vera, in Massey's Hook and Robert's Hammer, so that you could do the Steel Link shenanigans and loop stuff there, as long as it wasn't summer or winter, or as long as you had a way to give your Maester stealth, which, you know, wasn't too bad if you were willing to play like an out-of-house attachment, or if you were also playing, I always mix up which link is which. Copper is the trait link, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Turn them into smugglers, and they get stealth from the smuggler guy that I can't think of the name of either.
I never play him, so I can't think of the name either.
Yeah, yeah. But you could give all your smuggler stealth that way, turn your Maester into a smuggler, and then stand him with Massey's Hook, and now you've got the wall to work in about the same way. I mean, there's a lot of redundancy available for that kind of thing now. It felt strong. I mainly saw Greg trying that build, though I think Daryl, didn't you fiddle around with that for a while too? Of course, pre-wall.
Yeah, I did. I fiddled around with a few different Bera decks. I've definitely done Bera Knights, I think, the most, which I think is still really good. Bera Maesters, though, I think can still topple plenty of decks as well. I think that having Melisandre's schemes back is huge for those guys. I think that is going to make all the difference in seeing Baratheon get to the top cut. And I think we're going to have more than you would think. I think we will be pleasantly surprised. And let's not forget that, like, Shadow Killer is still an absurd card. Still absurd. So don't count those guys out. You know, and Black Sails, too. Goodness. Like, That deck hasn't hardly gotten hit at all.
Yeah, you know, it really hasn't. And it just kind of got some more little tools if it wants to fiddle around with them. There was that location theft event this cycle that I could maybe see getting a little use. What was that, Rite of Conquest?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and weirdly, I've seen a little resurgence in Zalador Saan again lately. But I don't know if that'll last or stand up very well at some place like Gen Con, where Dissension will probably be running rampant with refugees around.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. I mean, you know, Jaime Lannister is still in the game as a neutral Shadows character, and that deck has always done really well. You know, finding your Jaime. Now it doesn't have, I don't know, maybe you choose your Restricted to be Preston, possibly. That wouldn't be necessarily a bad choice. Search him out, and now you're going to draw oodles of cards. But who knows? I think that Bera has plenty of really good choices right now. I think they're just underplayed, underappreciated.
Yeah, I think perception is part of it. I think Daryl's right on a lot of points. I mean, I think the meta's really healthy. at the moment. Like, everyone talks about the power level per se and some of these knockout cards, but I think the meta overall is in a really good place, and we're going to see a very wide range of cards and decks and styles represented at Gen Con. I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised. And I think the keywords are being surprised. I think a lot of people are trying to keep some things under wraps, and we're always amazed by what comes out of the woodwork at Gen Con time.
Yeah, I think there will be a lot of creativity abounding.
And another thing is, like, if you're still undecided on the fence of what you're going to play, these houses that people perceive as weak are a good place to look for a sneaky surprise play, because catching your opponent flat-footed, or if they think the house isn't a threat, they may not be packing the answers for it as much as some of the other high-profile deck types. So if you're still undecided, I would really try and dig into some of this stuff that we may be a little down on, or that you hear the meta not talking about, because that's a good way to get an advantage on your opponent.
Potentially. I've got one thing I'm going to throw out there when we get to this house that I thought could be flying under the radar, and after testing it some, I think that was a poor idea. and actually, in that case, it's actually the number 5 house on my ranking right now. If you guys are good with moving on to the next house.
Sure.
Okay, number 5 house here. I think this one is really going to surprise some folks. I may get some flack for this one, but I'm actually feeling Martell in the number 5 slot. Quentin decks didn't get hit a bunch, but a lot of their other strategies that have been popular lately definitely got hammered. So their restricted list is looking quite long right now. The build in particular that I thought maybe stood a chance to come back was a City of Shadows build. You know, Venomous Blade's been on the upswing and had a good showing in regionals and all. I think it's in a good spot in the meta overall. So I thought, well, you know, what if I kind of combine that with some of the old triggers, black cells, and new stuff like Jamie for some draw, and really try to work those shenanigans. And I think I would have to say, after some testing with Greyjoy and Stark where they are in the meta, I just don't think City of Shadows is a great idea. It's still pretty resource intensive and not a good plan. So not all the under the radar stuff is always going to work.
Yeah, Martell is in a really weird spot. Like, it was obviously the house to play whenever Bloodthirst was in its heyday. I mean, the house to play if you want everyone to hate you. But that was a fantastic deck. I say fantastic. In a very, 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 very hard to beat sense. It was really good. It was damn near unbeatable, really. You'd play a few characters and just keep recycling even if they died, and then by the time you got the Viper all suited and booted, it was over. They are in a tough spot. I still think that they're plenty viable against every other house, but they haven't really gained a whole lot.
But we've seen powerhouse cards come in this recent cycle for, I feel, all the other houses except Martell. I mean powerhouse cards that they can actually play that haven't gotten restricted, etc.
Yeah, they got a big one.
They did.
Fairly recently.
They got a huge one. She's great, but is that going to be restricted? Maybe some decks, sure, but probably not. It's tough. And it's actually really sad that we see Martell get so many powerful effects and that right now it's hard to balance them. It's hard to find the right flavor for their effects. But, it is tough. I mean, the first card, I remember seeing You Murdered Her Children being like, oh, man, this card, you know, I hate this card, like, all this and that, and no one plays it. I still think it's a plenty good effect, but it's apparently not that good. But I still think that they can always go back to what they've done in the past and be just fine. Maybe you even choose Rivers to kind of accelerate your draw, but then now your restricted card is Crossing, and that kind of does turn off a lot of stuff. But who knows? I'm not sure. But out of all the houses, maybe they're not so good.
I had them one spot higher than this on my list, but I really, really like Quentin right now. I think Venomous Blade is in a really good place.
Yeah, the Blade definitely still is, I think.
With all the prized guys, and there's just a lot of low-strength things to worry about. I really, really like Venomous Blade as a choice right now for Restricted. So, yeah, I think Venomous Blade and Quentin is in a good place, and I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a bunch of it. We saw some at Iowa, and they had success, so I think you're going to see some at Gen Con. But yeah, I agree with all your points as far as Martell, is that the flavors you're going to see are going to be old decks. I mean, they're going to be updated, but I don't think you're going to see a lot of fresh concepts out of Martell, per se, at Gen Con. I may be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But a lot of their new stuff has gotten restricted and beat down, so it's hard to come up with a new innovative deck when all your new cards are aimed towards a deck type that they have decided is not healthy for the game.
Yeah, I think I agree there. With the FAQ coming out so close to Gen Con and it hammering the new strategies from Martell so bad, people are going to be scrambling and back to trying old builds. I think Quentin will be big out of those that do play Martell.
All right, Will, what's your number three house?
No, it'd be number four, I think, actually.
No, it's not.
Oh, yes, it is. It's number four. This is going to hurt. This is going to hurt, but it's Lannister, I think, right now. I think Lanny Neal is kind of my always baseline sort of deck that I kind of judge everything else off of. It never gets, well, at least since the beginning of the LCG, it doesn't really ever get just crazy overpowered anymore, and it never really drops all the way to the bottom. So I still feel okay about it. It's got some ways to try and answer things like the new Daenerys, and of course the Westerlands is pretty rocking. And Power Behind the Throne Rush with Fear of Winter, maybe not quite as impressive as it was looking very recently when we had these decks that wanted to take a little while to set up and get those river plots rolling, but it's still a thing. It's still something to watch out for.
Yeah, I feel like Lannister right now is one of the best houses by far.
So, I mean, it pains me putting Lannister this low. It really does, but I don't like the hyper-control they've always had with Neil doesn't feel as strong right now. I think there's a lot of standing effects. Out of Targ to be a Dragon's real big. Fall of the Many-Faced Gods has seen a lot of play out of Stark. There's the new Heartsbane. There's some stuff, there's some standing effects that have cropped up lately and are seeing popular play. So it makes me nervous to go with the Neil right now, and I don't think Power Behind the Throne is the best rush of the different builds. We're seeing a lot of different rush. It'd be really viable, which is good. But I prefer the Siege or the Targ Power rush a little more than the Laney one right now. But, you know, I can't be wrong. I felt like there was a build I could really get behind right now, I would be. But I'm just a little too nervous to play Lannister right now. I don't think they have an ace in the hole build that comes to mind.
No, they may not have an ace in the hole per se, but they still have the things that have always made them really good. So I think they're going to do really well this year. I think maybe a little Shadows package action, maybe even Baron Knight, or not Baron Knight, Lanny Knight does really well. But I can see where you're coming from in that. They're not as sexy, per se, as the other houses right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that move us on to my third house then?
Yep.
Okay. That looks like it's something I'm probably going to get some grief over. It looks like Targaryen. They're looking pretty solid. Of course, everybody's still raving over the new Daenerys. I mean, there's a lot of ways to use her, to reuse her, to get her back. But she is still just one character. So there's also a lot of ways to deal with that. Dragon Pit, everyone kept kind of predicting would be really big in regionals, and it never quite got there. And, you know, I kind of wind up feeling like Gen Con will be more the same. It still won't quite make it there and just have the showing that people want. So maybe this new Heir to the Iron Throne stuff, maybe another House of Pain variant or something. We'll see.
Can't forget the Dothraki No Agenda, Will.
Dothraki. That's also a good point. You know, the Horde is just kind of a constant thing these days. Kind of worries me with the Aftermath, though. You know, they want to just plop down, like, 8 things in a marshalling phase, which is great when you can follow up a Valor and your opponent's sitting there with still Diddly, but Aftermath kind of mucks with that.
No, it definitely does. If I was looking to play Dothraki, I would at least have to think twice or come up with some kind of answer to that. Maybe a Young Griff, some more, just like 2 or 3 Shadows characters that splash in there to negate that effect a little bit. But you look at it, and I think you might even run the Aftermath as a Dothraki player as your reset, because I'm a big believer that every deck needs one. Maybe that is the one build that doesn't. But it's nice to have, with the thought being, okay, we're both going to go down to 3 characters. My 3, I'm going to make sure are giant, big armies, the Braided Screamers, the Horde, maybe Jogo, and whatever my 3 are going to be, without a doubt, better than your 3.
Well, I think that Dothraki No Agenda is really good right now. I think that they could do some things, maybe even change it up a little bit, just to go with the meta, thinking about some of those resets that could come into play, and maybe doing like some Ambush for the Plains business or something like that. But there's no doubt in my mind that Targaryen is really nasty right now. With the new Dany, with Fire Made Flesh, I think that those are some really good tools. I think that, honestly, just control Targaryen is the tips right now. So whether it be Dragon Pit, like Knights of the Hollow Hill heavy control, or something along those lines.
They have seen a lot of builds make top cut. Aaron even took Dragon Pit to top cut at Blackwater and Florida. So, I mean, the Targ can come at you from so many different ways. I would feel very comfortable running a lot of those different builds at Gen Con.
Yeah. And with the 1-2 punch, I feel, with like Pyat Pri and the new Dany, like having targeted removal, even if you don't have that event in your hand, could be really, really good. So they could possibly win the whole thing in the right hands, with the right pilot, I should say.
I mean, there's a lot to be said for the pilot in Game of Thrones, for sure.
While we're on this awkward silence, did we talk about Martell at all? Oh. That's the last thing we got from the last recording, right?
Yes. I mean, it cuts in and out because we had a couple issues, so it's in bits and pieces, but I'll stitch it together so it's something.
Okay.
It's going to be messed up, this whole episode. The whole joust half of this episode is going to be messed up. So I won't make you guys stick around for it, but I'll record a little intro bit saying just a disclaimer.
All right.
What's your number 2, Will?
All right. This one is probably going to get me some flack. I had a really hard time deciding on what was going to be in the number 2 slot here. And I definitely admit this one is probably colored a little bit by personal experience down here over the last couple months that pushed this other house into the number 1 spot and left Stark in the number 2 spot for me. I think a lot of folks would say it's on top. I wouldn't argue that it's not looking pretty great right now. Of course, No Agenda has got a couple variants with either Mira, or I've been hearing some about this build that sticks with the river plots and then uses Bran to zip through them. And I think Kyle was a big proponent of Stark Wings, Stark Words, and I've heard about some other people fiddling with that. I like how it really fills in a draw gap for Stark there. And I mean, I just want to come back and mention it again. Mira. She just answers so many problems.
Like, I have this phrase I'm trying to build up, and that's, there's a Mira for that. Like, there's an app for that.
Yeah, I like
yeah.
it.
You know what I'm doing? But I mean, she is. Like, she is the solution to so many problems. Oh man, Dany with Fire Made Flesh just wipes my board. Okay, I'm going to bring Mira out. The nice thing is that as long as you have the gold, they can Harrenhal it all day, because when they cancel it, she goes back in the shadows. So it's like, oh, I'll Harrenhal that. Okay, cool. I'll do it again. Oh, I'll Harrenhal that. Okay, cool. Oh, I'll do it again. Oh, I'll Harrenhal that. Oh, it blew up. You know, like,
yeah.
I mean, I have done that to a guy, and I've made him blow. I mean, it worked. He had to blow his Harrenhal, but he got Dany off for that round, and my Mira saving shadows on that third one. I'm like, okay, fine. You win. You killed three dudes, lost Harrenhal, but now your Dany can wreck face and kill my Lewin. Congrats. But, I mean, she is such an awesome answer to the biggest problems in the meta right now. I mean, she's an all-star card with the way the game is.
She's really good. You can never underplay the power of blanking a card, because it literally does nothing after that. I say literally. If it's a character, I guess it can still attack. But blanking things is very powerful. Mira is ridiculous. Stark right now has some of the best icon spread, some of the widest range of decks, whether you're rushing in with Siege, you're playing Dark Wings, Dark Dicks, you're playing No Agenda, and you're doing like toolboxy things. You can do a lot of things with Stark right now. You can even do Stark Knights and do some murder, get your murder on, which is never bad, maybe some Bear Island tech. So they are very, very potent at the moment.
There's so much subtle synergy. It really feels like they've gotten the Martell treatment, and you stop for a moment and you look through these decks, and it's like, all these characters are highly efficient, highly balanced. They all tend to work together no matter what variants you're drawing. It all kind of piles into the same theme. I mean, all these decks, other than Siege, which is pretty specialized, is kind of a pile of good cards, but they're all good, good cards that are can be used in a wide variety of uses. I've been doing a lot of playtesting with Stark, and you just, these little tiny combos, these little neat tricks just pop up all the time. Like, oh wow, like those two cards work so well together, and these two cards, and these two cards, and these two cards. I mean, the house is just in such a good place. It has beef, it has control, it has all the things that I feel like you need to go into what I think is going to be a very extremely diverse field. You talked about this a regional season. How do you deal with the old way and Dothraki and at the time Bloodthirst and Martathion, and like, how do you deal with all these insanely different decks? And Stark has so many well-rounded answers that they can traverse the field with confidence.
Yeah, they've long been a great toolbox house, and when you feel like the field is going to be wide open, you know, with a lot of those threats, being able to answer so many different types of threats is a huge boon.
Yep, really.
They were my number one, and I have fallen in love with Stark as of late. And I just love where they're at and what they can do. And there's just so much to work with. I love it. It's aggressive. It's proactive. There's a house that is going to take control of that game in a myriad of ways.
Yes. They are the most efficient house in the game, bar none. The
cost of their characters. Right now?
Yeah.
So that's just that. That card is probably the most money it has ever been.
Oh, yeah. Frozen Solid's nasty good. Edmer Tully's ridiculous. Mira, obviously. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. The best part about these guys is you hardly ever pay 4 gold for something. And you will with like your Northern Cavalry Flanks and maybe a Rob, but I mean, the return that you get out of those guys is so, so good. So they're incredibly efficient. You don't have to work really hard to get a big effect out of their cards. So Stark is very good right now.
Yep. But, you know, in the end, what I personally wound up ranking higher, maybe it's a Midwestern thing, I wound up putting Greyjoy in my top slot. I know. But
that's tough post-FAQ.
What's that?
That's real tough for me post-FAQ.
Yeah.
I worry a lot about the draw.
They did.
I mean,
get
I have that number two. Let's not forget, but
they got dinged for sure. And, you know, the old way super board control stuff definitely took a hit in that last update. But I think just kind of the strong tempo-y stuff is in a really nice place. Has a lot of the same types of tools that Stark does. It doesn't have Mira, so maybe on the back of that I should have dropped them down to number two and let Stark remain number one. But I've just seen so much interesting Greyjoy stuff down here and in Tulsa over the last couple months. You know, little choke, little winner. They do a surprisingly good hand destruction game now. They've got the location answers. Now that they've got the new LIV2 and they've got the new Reavers, like, they've got character answers now. They got knocked by the FAQ, but I still think they're in one of the best places they've ever been.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. The only thing that makes me nervous is they love to splash that winter tech in there and run a little bit, and when that boosts what I think is the number one restricted card in the game right now in Mira, like, that's tough. When if you're looking at, like, a battle, if you think about it as a battle of titans here for 1-2, if Greyjoy's gonna splash in some tech that does nothing but makes the other house stronger, it makes me nervous to put them on top. I try to think of it like almost like a matchup scenario. Like, if these two houses go at it, who's coming out on top? I actually think that the Stark is gonna take down the Greyjoy 7 times out of 10. But hey, I may be wrong. I kind of hope I'm wrong. The thing I love most about Gen Con is the surprise and the wow and the I've never seen that before and how does it work? It's amazing and it's a very eye-opening tournament. So I hope you're wrong.
Well, Greyjoy right now is really good. Just like I've said time and time again of every house, really. The meta is in a great place as far as building a competitive deck out of whatever house you like. Greyjoy has always had a lot of strength in saving its characters, and I think that's honestly going to be key in every matchup, I think, going into Gen Con, is just being able to keep your board in a very sexy place. The way they got hit and not having naval escorts anymore and opting for their maiden's main. I'm obviously thinking about doing, the old way. That's the main deck I think that is their best, but obviously we've seen No Agenda do halfway decent, and even there's even a character agenda air on Damn Fair running around that people still really like. I think it's inferior to the other two, but I understand that, hey, it draws, doesn't it? And draw equal win.
And you can't forget Choke. I mean,
you can't forget
you don't
Choke.
See a
yeah.
lot of it, but it can be mean. So mean.
Yep, you can't forget Choke, and you can't forget about the Riverland Raiders or whatever they're called. Those guys.
Reavers. As much as I hate to say it, maybe Mill is finally at a place where
really
you see some work show up with it.
Well, maybe not Mill specifically, but I'll tell you what, Heads on Pike can do some damage in the late game.
We had the Wolf come down and play with it, and it was kind of mean, I'll be honest. I mean, it's not for me, but it's a combo deck that someone may be ballsy enough to show up with. And if you don't have the answers for it, I mean, tough titties.
Yep.
Very tough.
Sandpaper. Yeah. Hard leather.
Leather?
Leather.
Leather's tough.
Yeah. Man, I don't want to know what kind of parties you're headed to at Gen Con.
Same ones you're going to be at.
Touche, salesman. But hey, you know, one other topic here for Gen Con and Joust that I'm not sure fits quite into the regular house rankings that we were kind of tackling there. What do you guys think about some of these conquesty builds that are coming up? Of course, there's the Marathion that, you know, I think in some ways almost some of these pairings have to almost be considered as houses of their own because they don't quite do, you know, that normal stuff. Like Marathion, of course, technically has the Martell house card, but generally, you know, functions as a Marathion deck, so... How do you quantify that? Or there wasn't there some news about Greyjoy Lannister as well? I've been fiddling around with Targaryen Greyjoy. You know, I'm just not quite sure how to consider some of that stuff. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if there were some big surprises there, though. Marathion, even kind of being well known, I think still looks good.
I think that a conquest deck could plenty take Gen Con. I think that Conquest is like the best alliance quote-unquote answer in the game. Trust me, because I just played a weekend where I tried alliance just to see if it was in fact an inferior option to Conquest. A question I knew the answer to, but oh boy, was it ever true. So it opens up so many more doors and it's fantastic. And there are so many great interactions that now you can play
without just giving yourself the most ridiculous handicap. You're kind of in control. You know, you control your own destiny in a way where, you know, you put things in your deck knowing what the answers could be and how to mitigate as much of that downside to that agenda as you can. So, obviously, the Martell to Conquest Barad deck is super good. I've played Targaryen Lannister before, which was a blast. Wasn't necessarily good, but it was effective in some regards. And I could sit down all day and make Conquest decks and then be halfway decent.
My guess is at least two make top 16. That'll be my
prediction.
Oh,
nice.
I don't know.
I like them. I think you throw this in a weird... I mean, like, we're talking about, like, the curveballs here. Neutral TLV. I mean,
yeah, could neutral be there? People made a big deal about it in the hands of the Kahoric.
I don't want to say it makes a top cut, but I think someone makes enough of a splash that we talk about it between rounds. That someone sitting towards the top, threatening to make a cut, is running neutral.
Yeah. You can even see neutral conquesting something.
Yep.
I mean, that event could be good. It could also not matter a whole lot. I mean, it kind of depends on your matchup. You know, if you're playing against Lanny, Power Behind the Throne, the odds aren't good that you're going to make them flop into something that won't help them in some positive way at that point in time. So it kind of depends. But it's a badass event, and I really like it. And recycling it with Wex Pike is the shit.
That's how number two is number one.
Crazy.
That's right. So, yeah, that Wex is nasty.
Yeah.
Makes me want to play Scouting Vessels again. Anyways, go ahead.
I do love Scouting Vessel.
Yeah, I just love Gen Con for what it brings. I feel like Worlds, for whatever reason, doesn't seem to ever have the same effect. I think it's also part of it is there's less to lose. Like, if you bring something crazy and it wins a couple games and you start making noise, that feels awesome at Gen Con. Yep. If you bring something crazy and it blows up in your face, you drop and you go to, like, the million panels or the dealer's hall or...
Yep.
Like, I've never felt bad for doing poorly at Gen Con. I'm much more likely to bring the crazy and just hope to catch lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, I've been on both of those sides. And, yeah, there's really not a... I mean, it sucks to scrub out in a tournament, but luckily, Gen Con, unlike Worlds, there's a lot of stuff going on at Gen Con. And Worlds, they're starting to do more with, like, drafts and things like that, but Gen Con is just such an amazing experience and so many fun things to do. Seriously, if you find yourself 0-3 and you find yourself not having fun and, you know, you're frustrated, whatever, just drop, man. Just drop and go have fun. I don't know if that's a bad thing to say to somebody, but this is, like, I guess if that's all you're there for is the tournament and that's something that you want to do, I mean, that's your prerogative. You paid for your hotel, you paid for your badge, like, you paid to enter that event. If that's what you want to do, do it. But for your health, go have fun and enjoy all the things that you can see. Get some booze. We're going to have a blast.
Lots of that.
Win or lose. I mean, I've been losing for the past, like, 5 years. I've still always had fun every year, so.
Props and flops?
I got a prop.
Ooh, Kyle, jumping on that. What you got?
First prop is Konnichiwa, bitches!
Sneaky.
Second prop is, I don't know.
Fuck you, Kyle.
So we had pizza. This is in what is probably going to become, oh, shit. Sorry, guys. I'm multitasking, dropping a tissue.
Don't worry. That's all getting cut.
All right. I'm back. My second prop is we had some gourmet pizza rolls tonight. And by gourmet, I mean
gourmet.
I cooked in an oven.
Gourmet.
But, yes. But on the Tostitos or Totino's website, they have these, like, dipping sauces you can try them with. I was like, this sounds dumb. But they had a Hawaiian one that was, like, pizza sauce and pineapple and some chili pepper flakes. Mm. And it was really good. And I have some leftovers. I'm going to put on some ham, and it's going to be awesome.
Nice.
But I have a prop, gourmet hobo meals, for the poor folk out there listening.
Gourmet hobo meals. Okay.
Yeah.
That's quite a...
Copyright Kyle Vansel 2014, all rights reserved.
I'm going to get YouTube money.
Mom, can we have some gourmet hobo meals?
Comes with a free package of soiled underwear.
Everything has Velveeta in it. Everything.
Day old Cheese Whiz.
Oh, wow. I love the thought that that underwear is actually being packaged. Like, it has to be taken out, soiled, then put back in a package.
Yep. I mean, you don't buy those.
Soil underwear?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, it's time to get real with you. In Japan, you can purchase those from a vending machine.
Wow.
Now you know. Yep.
And knowing half the battle.
Over there.
Yeah, I do too. There's a lot of equity in that.
Paying off college. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
It really is. I wish we didn't say that. jeez. I feel like I should have a prop.
Isn't a positive message for the show?
Of course it is. Of course it is. No, I don't have one. Go ahead, Will.
You don't? Oh, wow.
I know. I can't think of one. I don't.
Well, I've got several this week, but you know what I'm going to start with? I'm going to actually start with a slop. I wasn't going to do it at first, but you know what? Fuck you, technology. Fuck you. Recording this episode has been an absolute nightmare, and I just want the listeners to know that.
It was.
I got a football here.
Oh, yeah. Very excited for that. That's a good prop. I'm very excited for this season in the NFL. I love NFL football. Hell, dude, that's what I'm excited about. I will prop Gen Con coming up. So by the time everybody's hearing this, you might be listening to this on your way to Gen Con or something, but it should have already come out by then. But seriously, I'm very excited about Gen Con. Very excited to come hang out with everybody. Look us up while you're there. If you want to know where we're at while we're there, post on our Facebook page or something. We'll meet up. We'll drink some beers. We'll be where the party's at all times.
That sounds fun.
And if you want to talk NFL football with me and or Kyle, I can do it all day long. Like, seriously, to the point where I almost considered dropping an NFL podcast, like doing one. And I think I would get a lot of mileage out of doing that. But I didn't. But I could if I wanted to. I love talking NFL football, so all day, every day.
I will prop week 5 of our fantasy football league, which is they're actually doing really well. We got all 16 teams. A lot of people show up for the draft. Everyone seems happy with their rosters. But week 4, I play Greg, and week 5, I play Daryl.
Oh, yeah.
Forward to all kinds of shit talk for 2 weeks back.
Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be fun. So another year going into Gen Con. I'm excited. Will, go ahead and throw us your prop.
Okay, well, one of my props then is going to be to Arrow Season 2, which I have finally started watching. It's pretty rad, and they're working in more characters that I never would have expected would be in the Arrow TV show. So that's awesome. I don't want to spoil who it is right now, but and I'm only like 6 or 7 episodes in, but I was like, holy cow.
Is it Wonder Woman?
No, it's not that awesome.
God, those double D's and cowboy boots just...
I don't know if she wears cowboy boots, but...
What?
You know, it's still cool.
Listen, when I shut my eyes, she's wearing cowboy boots, right?
Okay. Well, did anybody else have a prop, or should I loop back around to my next one?
I have a slop.
Go for it.
I'll get something. There are no media guests this year at Gen Con. It is my one tarnish on what is the best weekend... outside of probably my wedding, that I'm going to have all year.
Well, you say that now. You haven't had the wedding yet. So I would reserve judgment weekend is the best.
One of those events has my mother at it, so there is a lot of contention there. But I was a little bummed to see that there's no media guests. They kept stalling and stalling. I kept hoping it was going to be like a really big name that they're just struggling to get, and I was going to lock in someone huge, but... due to scheduling conflicts for the first time in what feels like forever, there is no media guests at Gen Con.
Wow, yeah. Way to drop the ball,
Kristen,
dude.
I was looking into that last night and saw that same dearth of media guests.
Isn't Jim Butcher going to be there, though, this year? Like, they're still going to be cool people.
Author or an industry guest. He's an author guest. There's a different
title. Well, that's fine. No media guests, whatever.
And I'm sure Will Wheaton will be running around somewhere per the usual.
Yeah.
Is he over there normally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I just never see him.
He's
1 year, I think a Jonas brother or two was there.
What? I wanted to get that.
Wow, I'll take people that haven't been relevant since 2008 for $1,000, Alex.
I would whip my dick out and hit him with it.
That sounds impressive.
Then you'd go to jail.
Well, wouldn't it be worth it?
Assault with a deadly weapon?
Yes. Can you imagine? Kyle was 4-1 yesterday. He did so good. That's nothing. He totally dick slapped a Jonas brother.
No, like, seriously. Yeah.
You would live in
him.
Glorious infamy.
FFG would give me 3 cards.
It probably would.
Two of which have to be related to my testimony.
I was going
to
say, it'd be 3 cards. Like, one's the balls, one's the shaft, the other one's the tip.
And the last card, Jonas brother.
All of which have intrigue icons.
Just intrigue icons.
Oh,
and
God.
Deadly.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Shit. End of the road, guys.
This podcast went to an awfully dark place.
Oh, God.
So I think
but
maybe I'm...
This is just a parade to get us out of here.
Yeah.
This is all getting cut anyways. We'll be okay.
We'll see.
No,
I don't know.
Not.
It was pretty friggin' hilarious, so it might...
Just leave it all in. It's already a short episode.
Yeah.
People will turn it off at this point if they're bored.
And I want to throw out another prop to my awesome girlfriend, Kristen, who went down on a business trip to Memphis recently and was kind enough to bring me back some awesome Memphis barbecue. She even went to all the effort of buying a cooler down there, loading it up with some ribs and chicken and baked beans and pulled pork, and brought it all back for me, and wow, was it tasty.
My other prop that I wanted to throw out there is actually Thrones related, and that's going to be to the concept of naming decks, which seems to be gaining some traction. I've been seeing a few more getting some cool names. There's the Stark Grand Theft location. I think Florian kind of kicked that around to begin with, and I thought that was a pretty cool name. I've also been hearing about the Martell Beach Balls deck recently, which really confused me at first until I saw someone mention Gaston Gray in regards to it, and suddenly it all clicked, and I thought, oh, that's really cool. I think that was J.C. Wama who was accused of playing that deck, and I feel like...
Prime.
What's that?
Accused, like it's a crime.
Well, I mean, it is a Martell deck. I feel like I saw something else recently floating around with a solid name that seemed to be sticking, but now I can't recall what it was. Regardless, I like that we're seeing more of those. I like having some fun names for stuff. Oh, Stark Wings, Stark Words, of course. That seems to have stuck.
Dark Wings, Dark Dicks is better, but okay.
Right. No, I do like the Stark Wings, Stark Words. Shives named his Let's Get Dangerous an allusion to Darkwing Duck.
Oh,
I feel is
nice.
There's some good ones. I love naming things. When you said Targ Greyjoy, I wanted you to call it Flaming Calamari. I don't know why.
Well, there we go. That sounds like my Targ Greyjoy deck that I've been fiddling with. Brilliant.
I mean, I've still thought about that one Stark deck years ago. Dirty Girl. Like, that's the best name for a deck ever. You guys remember that deck? Which one was that?
I remember you.
I feel like it was Australian, maybe. It may not have been, but it was a melee deck that would use, I believe it was Stand Any Phase Robert, and would use Satin, and it would turn him into a Night's Watch. Or no, it was Killer of the Wounded, rather, with Dire Wolves. I feel like that was a part of it. And then it could also do the thing with Satin, and like he would just, you know, kneel on Night's Watch, look at the top card of everyone's deck, and then just to get the pieces that he needed, and then would do like the crazy thing with Killer of the Wounded, turn it into a Dire Wolf, kneel it, and like just untouchable. Okay, so it would use Shaggy Dog, and then turn Killer of the Wounded into a Dire Wolf,
and
then it would just stand every time a character's strength was lowered. So it would always, like, it was just infinite strength lowering in melee. It was Dirty Girl.
You're a Dirty Girl.
Yeah, he is.
So that name rules. I feel like I'm messing a part of that deck up. I can't remember. It's been so long, and it doesn't work the way it used to anymore. It's really sad, but that name, I want to make Dirty Girl 2.0 to pay homage to that deck, so one day I will have it.
I think you should officially call it Dirtier Girl.
Or Dirtiest Girl, yeah.
Dirty Girl 2, the dirtier?
Dirtier Girl? I might do that. I feel like I could do that. That will be my quest. Enjoy Melee with me at Gen Con.
Doing dumb shit.
I'm not afraid to do dumb shit.
Nope.
Do you even Barrack Dondarrion, bro?
No, I don't, actually.
Apparently neither do I.
Too true. Too true.
Can we be done?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, well.
You already did it, Daryl.
No, because then I'll have to send him the file. I'll just do it.
Yeah.
Unless he's missing anything, then I'll send him the file. He can tell me later.
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, go ahead and do the outro.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to another fine episode of Two Champs and the Chump. Feel free to email us if you have any questions, comments, or anything like that about the cast. You can email us at twochampsonechump@gmail.com. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/twochampsonechump. That's an easy way to get a hold of us. If at all you want to hang out or see what we're doing at Gen Con, just post on the Facebook page. We will hit you up, and we will drink some booze or something like that. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/@twochampsonechump. Google Plus, still a thing. We don't have a LinkedIn page. Fuck it all. Danger Zone! The ghost who never goes away. Turn around and leave us behind now. See the ground as it leads to the sky now. You fight the sea, you're always going to drown. I just fucking throw up and say, here you go, like, flapping up like dogs. Let's throw it to him. Wrap it up, you sons of bitches.
Boy.
Yep. Alright. So, wait a sec. So you're saying we lost everything after Martell?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, man, I forgot to push record. There's two of us. There's two of us recording this, it should be. Oh,
I don't even know why it stopped. It just... the file just...
Oh my god. I don't know what to do.
But,
the logical thing is just to do it again.
Yeah, we do it. We try to pretend that it's not the third time we've attempted that. And
I'm recording.
We try to go through it fairly quickly and try to have this whole thing done by 8:30.
This conversation is so shitty. Inexplicably shitty.
Oh, it's
so much worse. Oh my god, everything after Martha. Okay, all right. Like, for my sanity and Will's sanity, let's stick our dicks back in the hole.
Is everyone gone? I'm still here. Oh, I don't have any friends. God damn it. I wonder if Will's recording this shit, or if I'm just sitting here talking to fucking nothing. This could be an Easter egg. This is Kyle when he doesn't think anyone's listening. I'm gonna do the dishes. Will always fucking bitches. He's like, Kyle, you're always doing dishes while we're fucking recording. Guess what, asshole? I am. Then goes the fork. Then goes the spoon. I got time for this shit. Boom. Loaded. How does it take a fourth drink? Jesus, I hear someone coming back. Asshole! You can't summon anyone. Shit's not working. We got shit to do. I mean, they have more shit to do. I want to watch a movie. Pizza roll! God damn it. I'm totally going to give a prop to this Hawaiian bit. Konnichiwa, bitches!
Okay, I'm back.
Were you recording?
I think it was recording through all that.